And a very good afternoon, everyone. Maynard Meyer with you here on the radio this afternoon, live from our studios. And we're going to be talking to you about the upcoming Black Pearl Valley School referendum today. And with me in the studio today, we have Rick Ellingworth. Rick is the superintendent at Black Pearl Valley High School. We got Scott Kahn from the Black Pearl Valley School Board. Filling in, I guess, for Corey Thorsen. We've been telling people Corey was coming in, but he didn't chicken out. He's just a little under the weather. So Scott's filling in. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
And Eric Bierke, who represents Madison. I think everybody knows Eric around the Madison area here, the CEO up there on the hill. So welcome, guys. Good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great appreciate
to be here.
You coming in. One of the things we've, I know you stressed, Rick, is the thing that we really want to do is be transparent about what's going on with this referendum, and that's why we've had the public meetings that have been held. There are about four or five of those. We have this opportunity on the radio today. Well, we'll be putting this up as a podcast, by the way, so if anybody wants to go to klqpfm.com and listen later, they can. There have been brochures that are out. It's been in the paper. It's been on the radio. And people have the opportunity to call the school with any questions they might have. So I think you've pretty well got it covered as far as being transparent about it. So,
well, the school board gave me marching orders when they first started this to make sure that we do a good job to get the information out to the public, as you just said, and
right.
Be very transparent and try to make sure that instead of just information going out, it's information that's relevant and are really the answers to frequently asked questions. So
right.
You're right. We did a mailing to 4,700 homeowner or residents, and you're right, I think, on the number of meetings. We've had five community meetings, and this would be the last public effort, I guess, to talk to many people about this with the election coming up on Tuesday.
Well, let's talk about that first, just in case somebody just got back from a trip to South Africa or something and they aren't familiar with what it's all about. Tell us what people are going to be going to the polls on Tuesday in the Black Pearl Valley School District and voting on this referendum. And I should mention it's the only thing I believe that's going to be on the ballot, I think, with this.
You know, actually, in Madison and in Milan, it'll be just the only question on the ballot. And those voters should have received information in their mail giving them guidance on where to go. Everybody in the Madison area will come to the Madison City Hall, in the Milan area to the Milan City Hall. But in the city of Appleton, there is one race, a person's running for city council unopposed. Okay. So because they have that, there'll be that and the school issue on the ballot there.
But they still, everyone votes in the same location, Appleton Civic Center?
Yes. Yep. Okay. Everybody that lives in Appleton votes there. Otherwise, they should follow that information sheet that my administrative assistants sent out to everybody.
Right, pretty well lists all the townships and where you vote, so that's available if you want it.
The polls will be open from noon to 8, so we hope people exercise their right to vote.
And what are they voting on?
So the school board back in July determined that it was going to ask the public for $6,575,000 as a bond issue to provide upgrades to 9 different parts of our school program. We start off with the theater. About a third of the money would go to improving the theater, which was obviously constructed when the building was back in about 1990. And
hard to believe it was that long ago. It sure doesn't seem like it.
But, 33 years ago, and we really haven't had any significant improvements to the theater since then. So as you know, in the business you're in here with all this technology I'm looking at.
A lot has changed in 30 years.
A lot has, yeah. And so that's one of the things they want to do is upgrade the technology, upgrade the lighting system, the sound system. It's still got the original carpet, original seats, so they would be replaced, the curtains and the rigging. So that's probably a third of the project. And then also we're looking at making some improvements to the ag area. Ag has gotten to be bigger and bigger each year in our school district.
Which is a good thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're in the middle of ag country, and we have three ag teachers right now, and the board just authorized not too long ago that they could work together, and they actually turned that work they were doing together into what's about $130,000 meat wagon, mobile meat wagon. And it's crazy, but it's the first one in the state of Minnesota. It's all been paid for with grants that the ag teachers have put together, and we're very excited. The school board got a tour of that at our last meeting, and so we're up and moving forward with our ag department. And then also, I'm going to stop there, but I'll let one of these other guys explain some of the outdoor facilities that they're looking to improve.
All right, Scott, you want to take that?
Sure. Some of a couple of the other areas we're looking at is, number one is just looking at the track. Track hasn't been touched in quite a few years. We did some time ago, we did some of the very top layer and some repainting, but the bituminous that's underneath that, the top mat needs to be replaced. We're getting some large cracks in there that are getting awfully big, and like to completely reclaim that and do that, touch that up, to make it, you know, just a better surface for everybody, and hopefully, you know, we can get it to so it lasts just as long. You know, we do try to take care of what maintenance we can on it, but you know, when it gets to a certain point, it eventually has to be completely redone. So that's what we're looking at there on the track. Then we're going to look at touching on the youth baseball fields. There's one in the back, and then there's a couple up front that, you know, need a little attention. It's tough when you have such a big area to try and to completely keep up with everything. So we're going to, you know, redo some mounds, some fencing around those, you know, install some irrigation so we can have nice green grass out there in the outfield for those guys, and give them a little bit better playing surface. And then with carrying on with the baseball field is that we're going to abandon two old ones that have just kind of, like, basically because of the soils out there, have just turned into kind of a rough area. Get the fences and that and the dugouts taken down there, and then actually kind of turn that into more of an ag field for the ag department. So we can look at doing some different things if they want to plant corn, do some gardening, for vegetables to sell or whatever, kind of just give the ag department just another outdoor area to utilize.
A little hands-on experience.
Right. Absolutely. Yep. Which I think a lot of the kids love, you know, get out of the classroom a little bit and do something outside.
Who doesn't love getting out of the classroom?
You're right. And then with that too, since we're on the baseball stuff, we're gonna look at renovating the junior varsity baseball field. So moving some backstops and redoing some infield, adding some irrigation, adding tile, and trying to make that just a better practice field for the JV and seventh and eighth graders, and then also just, you know, for games for them potentially. So just trying to make everything a little bit nicer for everybody else.
Right.
So.
And if you're going to have these things, you kind of have to keep them up. That's just the way it is.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
A few other things here. The softball field area, so the fields themselves are in pretty good shape. So it's, you know, looking at new irrigation, the press box, concession stand, and the bathroom. So that complex will get remodeled and redone. So we have better facilities there for everyone to use that space, which is well used. We are looking at the concrete, and this hasn't been replaced since the original building is on the west side of the actual building, all the concrete that's there for the walkways and the front entrance there. And then the tennis courts. So the tennis courts are in very bad shape.
That's kind of where the whole thing kind of started, around the tennis courts, wasn't it?
Discussion. You know, I think as the board, you know, we wanted to look at the full picture. That was one item that probably started that conversation, but we wanted to look at, you know, what were all our facilities that we need to redo, and that got us to this point to see, you know, what are all the things that we need to fix. But yeah, the tennis courts, we only have four functional tennis courts right now, so we can't have home matches. So the girls this fall were not able to do that. And so, you know, we want to get a new tennis court someplace. We don't know exactly where it's going to go yet, but we know we're going to have seven courts at some point or someplace out there.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of, I think some people think you can just out there get a little tar and patch it up, but I know from my experience in the city council here and looking at our small basketball tennis courts here, we got a $250,000 project right there or more, you know, if we did it the way the engineers are recommending with the new base and everything to make it last a while. So things aren't cheap anymore.
No.
Well, they probably never were really cheap, but they're even more expensive yes. now, unfortunately. Yeah.
So those are the seven items that we're looking at doing from the outside standpoint, in addition to the theater and the growing room that's within the building. So,
okay. Yep. Well, let's talk a little bit about baseball. I know that's one of the questions that keeps coming up. You know, the varsity will continue to play baseball, as I understand it, on the Madison Field for the time being anyway.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And that nothing will really change there. And, Rick, I think you're looking at maybe an agreement that would be reviewed every 4 or 5 years, not to say this is going to, you know, it's be the case forever, but
yeah, I think it's just protection for everybody. They've actually been playing baseball there for probably in the last 30 years, 20
most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah, the last 16 years for sure they have been. And so what we're wanting to do is just make sure that the board will take a look at that every so often. So we've talked to this city at this point about the possibility of a 4 or 5 year agreement, and then every 4 or 5 years, depending on what's happened across the rest of the district, the board would get a chance to review that and either recommit to it or design something else. But it's got some public attention, but as board members have talked about from the very beginning, this referendum's really about a lot of our facilities, right, other than where we play varsity baseball.
That's a small part of it.
Yeah. But I think that we've done a pretty good job of trying to clarify for the public, you know, what the intentions are. And we're really hoping that everything will end up going forward. I wanted to say that in addition to the things that these guys have talked about, we're also, the board asked in the beginning that we'd be really thoughtful about making sure that if we get to do these projects, we do them right. So like you were talking about the tennis courts, there are some communities that have, just like one of the guys said here, scraped off some ground and laid down 4 inches of asphalt, and then in 2 or 3 years, it's busting up.
Same thing again, yep.
So what we're looking at doing, and what the architects have talked about in the design of this, would be there'd be a 4 or 5 foot base of sand. There would be drainage around it. It would recognize that we are in Minnesota. It is going to freeze.
And thaw.
Yep, and freeze and thaw, and heave, and all those other things. And so on all of the projects, I think if we were to fast forward 10 years or so and look back, the idea is that they'd be appreciative of this school board wanting to make sure that the projects were done right.
Right.
And so when you do them right in the beginning, maintenance tends to be lower over the years. And we're at that point now after 33 years as we started this conversation, where a lot of these things need to be attended to. If we're going to be a comprehensive school with activities for kids, and, you know, kids' athletics and music and fine arts, it's as important to them as any of the classes they're taking during the day.
It is, and with open enrollment and that kind of thing, I mean, it's a competitive thing these days, too. You want kids to stay in your district, and you want to be offering, you know, things that they enjoy. So
you're absolutely
just,
right.
The three R's.
Yeah. There's a competition out there, so the other good thing we have going is we do collaborate with some districts around us, so we are already doing some cooperation, but this would put us in pretty good shape going forward in terms of being an attractive place to send your kids to school.
All right. Well, we're going to get into answering some questions here, but before we are addressing some questions that people have been asking that we know of, but if anybody has any questions here in the next half hour or so, we're on the air. If we really get a good discussion going, we'll go all the way till 5 o'clock. We'll use whatever time we need here today. But give us a call here at 320-598-7301. You don't have to worry about being put on the air. You can remain anonymous if you wish. Paul Ramo is in the office here, and he'd take any calls that might come in. Just ask your question, and we'll present them to our board members and Superintendent Ellingworth here this afternoon. And if something you think of later after the program, you can always get a hold of the school, and there's plenty of opportunity to get those questions answered. We still got a couple of days left. So
yeah, there are a couple of days, and even though we were talking about the school primarily, that Minnesota Viking win we just had, both these school board members I'm sitting with and Maynard, we're all taking credit for making these calls down the home stretch here. Yeah. So you can call in and ask about their expertise in that area also.
I know when you and I got together to discuss when we were going to do this program, we looked at the Vikings schedule, made sure it was after the Vikings game, and we were hoping for a Vikings win so everybody would be in a good mood and enjoy talking.
Yeah, I asked Maynard if we could schedule a program at 2 o'clock, and he says, well, if the Vikings are playing, if you want anybody to listen to it, you better set it up a little later.
Yeah, I'd go a little later. So here we are. But one of the questions that that I've been hearing out there is, why do you need the extra money? Why now? Why didn't you do it? You know, we just had a referendum, what, a couple, 3 years? Probably longer ago than that. Time flies. I can never remember my years.
2019, yeah.
But we're kind of just finishing up one. Why another one this soon?
So, you know, I got a quick history lesson when I got here, but I did become aware of the referendum that was done in 2019, and that was something that covered all three of our buildings, you know, the elementary school in Madison, the elementary school in Appleton Milan, and the some of it went to make improvements at the high school. So at that time, when that referendum was put together, they were the school board had a pretty thorough evaluation done of all of the facilities, and they looked at the HVAC units. That's another thing that we've gotten some questions on, because they're being replaced also.
That'd be heating and cooling.
Heating and cooling, yep. Because those units ended up being 33 years old, and it was a really good discussion at board level. Well, why didn't we do all that then? And we went back and looked, because I didn't know. And the straightforward answer is, well, they really weren't in need of being done then. But now that they're 33 years old, and now we learn that the life expectancy of them is anywhere between 30 and 40 years, each one of those units costs a boatload full of money, of which we don't have a bucket, you know, around for.
Right.
We've also got a building that doesn't have one window that opens. So, you know, with air quality control and all of those things that have to be in place now, if those units started to go down anytime in the near future, we would not be able to use the building because it just wouldn't either be getting heated or cooled, or the air exchange wouldn't be working. And then this project is the $6.5 million project. Really wasn't looked at to any big degree at that time. But what I do want the public to understand is, if it would have been, or if the HVAC units would have been approved at that time, the cost of that referendum would have just been that much more.
I think I'm looking here at $13 million at that time.
Either now or then, yeah. You know, and we don't pretend to know what the inflationary factor would be, but instead of $39 million, it would be around $50 million. And then it'd be another $6 million for this. So I think the board went for what they thought the public wanted at that particular time, and what, according to all the assessments, what was needed. And these other things have just come along. It's like when you replace all four tires on a car, then a year later you got to do something else because the air conditioner goes down, or a year later you got to do something else. And so you just do it to make sure you're taking care of your property, and right. That's what this is about then.
I think one thing that people really kind of need to realize, too, when you're talking about newer technology, things don't last as long as they used to. You know, I found that out, I run the movie theater in town here. We replaced the digital projectors 10 years ago. I am soon going to be starting another project to replace the digital projectors that we replaced 10 years ago, because they're not making parts for them anymore. They were then. They're not now, because the technology is changing that fast, and you can't get service, you can't get parts. And that's happening, I'm sure, in a lot of the technology that we're seeing in our public buildings and everything else. It's not like the old 35-millimeter projectors that ran for 50, 60, 70 years over there, and you just shoot a little WD-40 at them, and they, you know, took off again. It's a new world.
when you first started in the movie industry, were they... were the movies, did they have sound then?
No, they did not.
Or were they just silent?
I had to sit and play the piano. That's about as long ago as it was.
we got to have some fun with this, too.
Yeah. So anyway, things need to be replaced. That's if you don't do it now, obviously it's on down the line, we'll have to do it, have to have another referendum, right?
It's pretty much, you know, I'm very proud of this board, and as you know, I'm an interim, but I got a chance to work with them coming from the outside, and probably the last thing anybody wanted to do was have another referendum because of the first one and then what they had to do the last this past January. But what I have given them a ton of credit for is, instead of kicking the can down the road, instead of letting the facilities basically break down even more, they chose to do what I think is the right thing, which is ask the public for support to keep the facilities up.
Right.
And that's a hard thing to do, but it's the right thing, I think, at this point, to give the public an opportunity to weigh in and hopefully be supportive.
All right. One of the questions here that you've addressed in the brochure a little bit, but we could talk about it some more. There's some state funding that's coming in here that's picking up a pretty sizable chunk of this whole project here. I believe about 70% of it would be paid for by the state of Minnesota. That would cover the ag to school tax credit. Someone's wondering, we just had a call here, is getting the state money a sure thing? And if so, how much money are we getting from the state for this project?
Okay, so yeah, it is a sure thing. Right now there's something called the Ag to School Credit, and actually Jake Sieg, who's a county administrator, gives some wonderful information about this, and he's done that at all of our public hearings. But essentially it works like this. The Ag to School Credit primarily impacts ag land, and it reduces the amount of what we would be paying per acre by about 70%. And that's the maximum allowed by law right now. Senator Gary Dames is a good friend of mine. We actually sit near each other in church on a lot of Sundays, and I had the chance to ask him, how sure are we that that is going to be there in the future? And his response, and I mean, I'm on the air now, but his straightforward response was that piece of legislation is one of the few where there's bipartisan support. It started to be when in 2019 or 2015, I guess, is when it started. It was at 30 or 40% and then went to 50% and then 60%. And by the time you did your referendum in 2019 here, it was at 70%. And it's remained there over that period of time. So I'm rambling on here, but the way it works is that about 56% of the cost of this project is going to be paid for by the state of Minnesota, by the entire state, not just our tax base. And when we break that down into actual dollars, of the $6.5 million, $3.7 million will be paid for by the state, and about $2.8 million will be paid by local taxpayers in the Lac qui Parle School District.
Over how long a period of time?
And go ahead. So that's going to be over 10 years.
Okay.
The Ag to School Credit, though, you have in place, that was on the school facilities, and that'll be in place for over a period of 20 years from 2019. And then the $13 million project we did for the air handling units, that was a 15-year project. So in about 12 to 13 years, all of the debt that we're talking about here will be retired on any of the school properties that are in place right now. But that is a big number. So of the $6.5 million, about $3.8 million or $3.7 million is coming directly from the state of Minnesota, and the balance comes from local taxpayers.
Right, and that's money that's paid for by taxes that have already been paid. So, I mean, you're not going to have to worry about your taxes going up for that reason.
Yep.
Otherwise.
Not only ours, but across the whole state of Minnesota. So Bloomington and the Mega Mall and all these other places. And all communities across the state that have schools, they are able to take advantage of that. And that's why a lot of communities have been passing referendums, because it's actually a pretty good deal to take advantage of right now.
All right. So I think that pretty well addresses that question. But that is, we don't have to worry about losing the money. And in other words, it's not going to turn. They're not going to turn on us later and change their mind.
Absolutely. So once this is in place, the bipartisan support for this is very strong, as I said. And so the debt will be retired, we think, before anybody'd have thoughts of undoing it.
Right, and that, of course, applies to ag land.
Yes.
Now, how about homeowners in the communities? Maybe give an idea here, if they haven't seen the chart, just how much you can expect an increase in annual taxes on an average home, depending on what you think is average.
Yeah, so if we looked at a $100,000 home across the whole district now, so this is the same in Madison as it would be in Nassau or Bellingham or Appleton or Milan. If the home was valued at about $100,000, the estimated annual tax increase for this will be $25 a year, or about $2.11 a month. If the home was valued at $125,000, it's about $35 a year, or $2.90 a month. If there is a home valued at $300,000, it's about $100 a year. And we sent down a flyer, and I know that you got it, Maynard, but we sent this flyer out to every resident in the school district. And we also sent, as part of that, a tax calculator. It's a QR code that they can actually look at their own property tax statement, get the parcel number of the parcel that they're looking, what the cost would be on it, and enter that information, and they'd be able to see to a penny what the proposed tax is supposed to be increasing should this pass.
One of the things we brought up at a public meeting the other night was here in Madison when I was attended. There was a little concern that some people aren't internet savvy or don't like the QR codes and all that kind of thing. And Administrator Sieg up there pointed out that people can just call the courthouse up there, call the administrator's office or whatever, and they, if they have the parcel number, fine. If they don't, they can probably get that for them off of their tax statement.
They can. It's actually posted by the owner's last name, and so all that information, if folks aren't comfortable using a computer for that, don't hesitate to call, or you could call the district office on at the school, and we could help with that also. But it's a pretty simple process. And then after asking that question, you get an exact response of what the tax increase would be.
And same for commercial and industrial. If you have about $100,000, estimated market value is $100,000, your increase would be about $53 a year. And if you had a $500,000 business, $327 a year would be so not any massive tax increases on there.
No.
Commercial industrial side either for this referendum.
And then we also give the specific information for ag land at homesteaded agricultural property. It's valued at $8,000 an acre. The annual increase is going to be about 42 cents of tax increase per acre. If it's non-homesteaded, it would on a acre of land that's $8,000 of value, it would be about 85 cents. Annually is the increase. So following the board's direction, we've been very transparent about trying to get all this information out so folks could answer those questions
right
prior to making their votes.
And we do have a couple of those brochures laid on the counter here at the radio station, too, if they want to pick them up. And I think you've got all the information on your school website there, too, which is LQPV.org, yep. So you can go on there and click on that.
Yeah, and you know, we just added this, Maynard, just this last week, but Julie Asfeld is our technology coordinator and social media person. So we asked her to create a film of the facilities that we're looking at, which she did. It's only about 2-3 minutes long, but it does a good job of describing the tennis courts and the softball complex and the track and the baseball fields and the theater, all 9 of the projects. And any questions about that, I think, get answered because they actually took pictures of some of the facilities and why they need improvement.
Okay. Well, Scott and Eric, anything as you're out talking to your constituents, any other questions that you have come across that haven't come up on their brochure, or what are people wondering about out there? What do they say?
I think the biggest thing that, some people have brought up to us is kind of some of the things that happened with the past referendum and using SiteLogic, and if we were still using them. No, we're not using SiteLogic. We've moved forward with old architects and engineers, and just basically trying to turn over a whole new leaf and get a whole new, you know, set of fresh eyes and everything on this project. Wold's been in the area. I know they're doing some stuff for Lac Parle County. So, you know, they're in the area and they're doing some stuff locally for people. So, it, you know, that was one of the big concerns we had, too, when we looked at doing a referendum, was it was getting somebody that was going to help take care of us again and right the ship from some of the issues that we had before. We did take care of some of those issues before. A lot of people don't get to see or hear about some of that stuff, but we did take care of some of those issues with SiteLogic. But we just feel now with that Wold Architects and Engineers is better suited for the district.
Okay. Yeah, we had a gentleman from Wold Architects at the public meeting there, too, is answering some questions and
things. Yeah, very knowledgeable. Yeah, they were really good about attending several of the public meetings. And that does bring up another question that did come up now that you mentioned that, and that is, how do we know that that $6.5 million will be enough, or that the budget will be held to that?
Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah,
is it enough?
Well, it's a very good question, because as everybody knows, things seem like they're getting more expensive, whether you're buying bread or cement, I guess. But the board feels very comfortable, and I also have worked with Wold for many years, that the way they go about it is to be pretty conservative about the estimates in the beginning, to make sure that if we're off, you know, it'll be good news, and that we're over-prepared, if anything, for what the project should cost. The air handling units is a great example of that. We set aside about $10.1 million for what's been bid out so far, and including the two alternates and the main project, we're about $300,000 under budget on that particular project. So what working with Wold, I think, will be a different experience than we had with SiteLogic. And the question about, is it going to be enough? We're going to live within our means, is what the board's been saying to the public when this question gets asked at these public meetings. And so we're going to make sure that we make all the projects fit the dollars that we have available.
And I know you're planning to work closely with community members and those who are in touch with these projects too, to make sure the money is used as it should be on the facility, the way it should be built. And
yep, and I think that goes back to the board's initial conversation about we're going to be transparent, we're going to do what we say we're going to do, and that's the intention if this project gets approved.
Yeah, and unfortunately too, when the government gets involved, projects tend to run a little bit more costly than they were if there's just a private individual thing, someone did things too, because there's a lot of checks and balances and laws and requirements and wage requirements and everything else that enter. So some people look at these things and go, shouldn't it cost nearly that much? I built a pole barn out here for such and such, it didn't cost me that. You didn't have to have, you know, engineers sitting there monitoring the project and everything else as we're required to do in government projects. So yeah, they do cost a little bit more, but you know, it's probably a good thing too, because they're done. You say you want to do them right.
Yeah, so we want them to do them right and for the long term. Right. You're right.
So, you know, and that's another thing that's come up is, you know, so you're going to do these projects, but how are you going to make sure you keep them up? So do them right out of the chute, but then how do you keep them up? So, you know, as our board or even the administration, just putting attention to that on a regular basis so that they are taken care of over time. And then when they do need to be replaced or fixed, you know, we're on it, you know, sooner than letting it be. You know, where some of them have gotten to at this point. So that's come up in a few of the community meetings as to what are we going to do about that. But the administration's on it and trying to find good people to fill those positions and be able to keep eyes on our facilities, both the buildings and the outside facilities. So
yeah, we're planning to actually add an employee whose job it is to tend to all of our outdoor facilities out there. And Eric's right, that has come up often from people that would say, you know, I'm willing to support the project, but just like he said, what are you going to do that's different that means you're going to take care of these things as we go forward? So we think we have a pretty good plan in place. Finding labor is always hard, and then keeping it is sometimes harder, but we've had a pretty good run of some good luck recently in terms of adding some staff, and so I'm feeling very good about that right now.
Speaking of staff, you were mentioning the other night that you're fully staffed out there at Lac Parle Valley right now, pretty much.
You know, we have, in terms of teaching staff, we have one teacher we're hoping to add yet in the area of English as a second language. But otherwise, we're fully staffed. And in our maintenance department, we just had some interviews this last week, and we're hoping to, I'm hoping when I get back to work tomorrow, there'll be another acceptance, but we're able to move forward in a way that's productive and we think pretty holistically. So, if you know anybody that's looking for a job as an English language instructor, we just hired two additional people this year, but we're looking for a third. So anybody that knows of someone, for sure have them call the school district office and we'll get some detail on
when that. When I first took off for college, I was planning to be an English teacher because I didn't really want to go into radio because I've, you know, done some of that. And then I found out that maybe I didn't want to be a teacher. I had really respect those who teach, but I don't think I would have been all that good at it. And I found out radio is the only thing I know how to do. So so otherwise, I'd apply for that job. So, no, that's great. Good to hear that things are going well staff-wise out there.
Hopefully we can keep it going. We know it's a challenge, and it doesn't matter if it's education or what the field is. There's
employment.
Everybody's looking for good people.
Yeah, you open up the newspapers these days, and you probably find some kind of a job. Yeah. Everybody's looking, that's for sure. Well, anything else we need to touch on here that's come to mind as we've carried on the discussion? We'll open the phone lines one more time here, 598-7301, last chance to get any questions in, or you can email them to me at klqpfm@farmerstel.net. And as we say, you can also ask them anytime. Just contact the school, and they'd be more than happy to talk to you about it. But maybe just have each one of you put in a last bit of plug about why you personally feel this is important.
I think it, you know, we do our due diligence as board members that you want to make sure the kids are getting what they should get and deserve. And, you know, being in a business, basically, you got to have the top-notch facilities. And that's why we need to do it. And I just want to, you know, thank all the community members that showed up for the different meetings that we've had. It's great to see that interest and want to know what's going on. And Rick said, just being transparent and being center on it as to what we're doing. So thank you, everybody, again.
Scott?
I don't know. I think Eric pretty much covered about everything there. But, yeah, I do want to thank everybody again for the support and coming out to the meetings and on all your questions. That's what we're here for, is to make sure that everybody understands what you're voting for and why you're voting for it. The kids are the biggest reason for this is, you know, to give them a great place to get a great education, and as well as, you know, play some sports or do theater or whatever it is. I think no matter how you look at it as a high school student, it's just it's an educational process, whether you're in theater or sports, is that you're learning to deal with other people and get along and hopefully set you forward in the right direction after high school. So, it's great. Proud of Lac Parle, and just hopefully we can keep moving forward as one.
Yeah, I think it's great. We've always had good community support in our communities for Lac Parle Valley. I mean, sure, there's always been that little controversy, you know, whether we should have built it, done that in the first place and all that. But everybody's really, overall, I was on the board when we did it, so you can blame me, I guess. But anyway, it's just something that everybody's gotten behind, and they're very supportive, because it's really about kids and it's about education. You know, I've had three kids. I've been here 40 years now. I had three kids come up through the system. They're all graduated at Lac Parle Valley, and now I've got my daughter moved back, and I have two grandkids that are in the going through the Lac Parle system. So obviously, I'd like to see it continue to improve, and as other people would. And we've had a lot of other younger families that have moved back here, and to me, that's the most important thing. Is it costs a little bit of money, but we've got to look ahead and look forward, and you know, we're not going to be around for I'm 71. I'm not going to be here forever. And I want to make sure this community, 100 years from now, is still thriving by investing in the community today. So as other people did for me in the past. So I just think it's important to just keep these things rolling.
Yeah, my kids, although they didn't go to school here, we face the same issues. Just about every school district does. Every so often, we have to reinvest in our facilities. But what I would just say about this is our budget is we're in very solid shape financially overall. We made some changes a couple years ago where we were able to restructure with our general fund budget. But if we don't have another option to go to if this weren't to pass right now, it's $6.5 million, and we don't have that kind of money. If we did, they would have spent it in the first place. So I'm just very hopeful that the public will take a good look at this. Extracurriculars are very important. Co-curriculars, music, running around, like these guys have said, being part of those teams. If kids don't have those things, they make choices, or their families do, to go someplace else. And we don't want to get into that kind of a spiral, which some districts do once in a while.
Right.
So I would agree to you. I've looked at some of the past referendums in this district, and I've been amazed at the community support. I mean, it's been very high and very supportive. And this is my third year here, and I've been amazed about how friendly everybody is, despite you could have a disagreement. But folks are really first class in the way they treat other people, and through this whole process, that's what I've felt, certainly as kind of an outsider trying to help the board present this issue to the public. So we appreciate you allowing us to reach into everybody's homes if they're listening, and we encourage everybody to get out and vote on Tuesday night.
Sorry, maybe review when the polls are open again and what the polling locations are for that.
Yep, so just about everybody should have gotten a brochure from the public about where to go to vote, but in particular, the city of Madison is one voting site, and they'll be open from noon to 8 o'clock.
City Hall?
Yep, City Hall. The Milan City Hall will be open from noon to 8 o'clock for residents in that area, and then because the city of Appleton's having a city council election as well as this, everybody that lives in the city of Appleton will vote at the Appleton Civic Center, and those polls will be open from 5 to 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And that's just at the Appleton site, though.
All right. So get out and vote however you feel, one way or another, as it's in your hands out there.
That's right.
Every vote's important too. There are people. Some people say, "Well, it's going to pass, or it's not going to pass." You really don't need me out there. But some of these referendums, I mean, been amazed in the last couple of years. A vote or two, hundreds or thousands of votes, and one or two votes can make the difference on the whole thing, whether you like it or don't like it. So,
You were talking about your age. I'm not too far behind you, and I get teased all the time. Did I actually shake Abraham Lincoln's hand, or did I just know who he was? But he did have a great quote about this, and that is that you have to trust the public. You have to get them all the facts and then trust the public to do the right thing as they see it.
That's right.
And that's sort of the position that the school board, they said it in different words, but it was about, we need to get all the information out there and let the public decide what the best thing to do is. So right. That's where we're at.
Your opportunity is Tuesday. So, right. Eric, Scott, and Rick, thanks much for coming in and taking a little time out of your Sunday. Glad to go Vikings. Skol.
Thanks for having the school on here. And
thank you.
Giving us the support. We greatly appreciate it.
And we'll be here Tuesday. Tuesday evening we'll be on the air. Paul and I, one of us will be around here to make sure we get it on right away and post it on our social media platforms and get it on the radio here, whatever the results may be. So be listening to
Q92. All right. Thank you.
Yep, thanks, guys. Thank you, Mayor. Well, that's our discussion on the Lackawanna Valley School referendum. So get out there and cast your vote on Tuesday, however you feel. It's important to vote.
In 15 minutes, it'll be 5 o'clock. Great music for Appleton, Holloway, Lewisburg, and Hantho right here on 92.1 FM Q92.
M.G. Kelly. American Hitman. When you want to hear the greatest hits of all time, you don't have to look any further than the American Hit List. Every week, we time travel back to the days when these songs were current on the chart. So on this show, the music is not classified as oldies. Not after you step in here. The Wayback Time Warp Machine is ready for another journey to yesterday. Hallie, do your thing.
Coordinates 1967 online.
Engage.
You're in the Pepsi generation.
I dig rock and roll music and I love to get the chance to play
and sing it.
I figure it's about the happiest sound going down today. The message may Papa's at the Trip Sunset Strip in L.A. And they